This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Tēnā koe, everybody, and welcome to Aratoi On Air. I'm your host, Amy Tower, and I share the air with my lovely colleague, Sean Norling. How are you going, Sean?
Kia ora, Amy. Kia ora tātou. Wonderful to be here again. Really cool interview on the show this week that you did, Amy, with an amazing creative talent on the rise here in Aotearoa, the one, the only, Ruby Makoma. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you guys discussed?
Yeah, we discussed a bunch of things relating to Ruby's practice, how she came into writing, what it means to be a Māori Pacifica writer in 2025, and her relationship to Otiputi, and what's brought her down to our beautiful city over the last couple of years and the relationships that she's built.
The Dunedin Writers and Readers Festival. The Dunedin Readers and Writers Festival is happening this weekend. I think Ruby's involved in that, and you'll probably find a little bit more about Ruby's involvement by way of the interview. Also, Lines of Flight is happening Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Thursday at the Dunedin Public Art Gallery, and Friday, Saturday out in Port Chalmers at the Port Chalmers Pioneer Hall and Port Chalmers Town Hall, respectively. Plenty to keep you going this week in Otiputi. Here's that conversation between Amy Tawa and Ruby Makoma.
Today we welcome a returning visitor to the Mauka and the Molehills of Otiputi, Ruby Ray Lupe Awai Makoma, who hails from the Uri of the shores of Utu Te'u, the flowers of Tavuni.
Yeah, got it.
And the mighty tentacles of Te Pū o Te Whiki. A recent graduate in law and arts from the University of Auckland, Ruby stays busy and committed to the elevation of Indigenous voices and lived experiences. In 2024, Ruby was the guest curator of the New Zealand Young Writers Festival right here in Otiputi, and writer-in-residence the year prior. Her poem, Crisis, featured in Manamoana Pacifica Voices, was shown in the most recent United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. Her recent work features in Landfall, Pantograph Punch, The Spinoff, Metro, Awa Wahine, Starling, and Waka Kuaka, the Journal of the Polynesian Society. No mai, haere mai, Ruby. Thank you for your time and welcome to Aratoi On Air.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's such a joy, such a joy. We're very excited to sail you away from your very busy schedule that you have here in Otiputi. How are you going?
I'm going good. It's been a really busy few days, yeah. A really busy few weeks. And I think this morning I woke up and the whare that I'm staying in, there isn't a curtain, and so we had all the morning light come in, and that was so beautiful to wake up to, and then to like have a few things to do but not be running.
Yes.
You know.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah. And it was beautiful this morning.
Yeah,
eh? It was beautiful. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, yeah, tēnā tātou. I'm Ruby, I guess, as the bio mentioned. have a pretty mixed whakapapa. Really proudly Rotuman. Got some links to Tawhiuni and Fiji, and then to Ngāpuhi and Te Pū o Te Whiki up north as well. Currently based in Tāmaki Makaurau, and kind of have been for the majority of my life. But have been lucky enough to be down for the New Zealand Young Writers Fest for the last 4 years in different capacities. And then I think, I also, as I was talking about this with someone else, also recalled that I had work in 2018. So it's really been quite a journey. Yeah. And I'm 24 now. So the fact that it's been going on for so long and I'm still in that youth bracket is quite funny. I am writing a lot. Had a little chapbook come out last year, which was super exciting, called My Moana Girls, and have been doing community programming for a while now, which has been really beautiful. So yeah, lots of bits and pieces, but just excited
to
be here.
You're like a jack of all trades.
Master of very few.
Yeah. You are well published and you're a critically recognised writer. How did you come into writing?
I didn't know any writers growing up, really. None of my whānau are really... not really creatives, but creative talkers, creative storytellers in that sense.
That's great.
But my nan is, I guess, on my Rotuman side. Even just not even just the spoken words, but the way that she would hold herself and the way that she would interact with others was filled with stories. And you could tell like the richness of that would come through in every single interaction that she had. And so it was when she passed in 2017 that I, you know, was so used to being able to talk quite confidently. But that was kind of one of the first moments that I thought, well, I really don't know what to say or how to say it. And that experience being quite confronting. And so, yeah, wrote poems, I guess, to navigate that grief. And that was really cool. But didn't, you know, it was more just to do something. And to, you know, also being Rotuman and Māori and white in a part of Auckland that, yeah, I was lucky enough to be around lots of Māori and Pasifika peoples as well. And so storytelling being and poetry being a way to connect to that community. But I guess that all culminated in me submitting one of the poems that I actually wrote about my nan to Starling Mag, which is an awesome online journal for under 25s, poetry and prose edited by Frances Cook and Louise Wallace. And I didn't really think anything, I didn't expect anything of it. I was, you know, quite young and it got accepted.
Shout out.
Yeah, shout out Starling because they've also just had their 10-year anniversary.
Wow.
So I guess really showing the importance and the continued importance of pathways for young, yeah, kaituhi Māori, kaituhi Pasifika, but also just young people in general wanting to share their work and to have a platform that's so quite well known, but also, you know, it's like it looks beautiful as well. And I think seeing your work displayed in a way that feels professional and feels like it's there's substance and care put into the display of that work is so important. So yeah, shout out to Starling
bestowing worthiness on our young writers, because when you see the money and the time and the resource being put into your work, you're like, oh no, I'm worth it. Like,
yeah.
You know?
And even like, I know they had, I got, I think, some CNZ funding, and so we were able to be paid a koha for that writing. And so at, you know, being a teenager, I was working like night shifts at a mall and then also at an op shop, and had never seen the arts as a way to, you know, I think it was like $80, which was, you know, still a significant amount of money for a teenager. You know, to have that experience at such a young age is something that I'm super, super grateful for.
I also just want to talk about what, you know, you said about your grandmother and how that became a sort of gateway to your early writing, and what a beautiful legacy that is for her, because you carry her through, right?
Yeah. I think the thing that I've been reflecting on a lot recently, because, yeah, I just recently graduate, is so many of the flowers that have come from her and my relationship with her. You know, she wasn't able to see. I wasn't writing before she passed.
Mm.
And so just the idea that our, you know, for Māori and Pasifika, so much of our art and creation is in response to our relationships. And with that comes an obligation to community, right?
Mm.
But ensuring that our community can see that and our community can see the ways that they nurture us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What piece of writing that you've completed has brought you the most joy?
The way that crisis, the piece that was shown at COP28, I think the way that it lived different lives was really exciting, and I didn't realise poetry could do that. Audrey Brown Pereira, who's a beautiful Samoan Cook Island poet and just a beautiful person in general, she was the one who brought me on into that project, and a short film, like a poetry film, came out of that, which was incredible. So I think in terms of experiences, I love and am so grateful for the experiences that came from that poem. But I have this poem called Sifua, which I wrote maybe 2 or 3 years ago now. But Sifua in Rotuman is basically like this. It's kind of what you say after someone sneezes. So like rather than bless you, it's like Sifua. And I guess one translation of it would be like, don't burst open.
Whoa.
Which, yeah, when you think of a sneeze.
Which is quite a beautiful translation.
Yeah, really, really beautiful. And so I think the way I've been able to have conversations around what it means to be Rotuman through that poem has been really cool, and how poetic our language is. And I'm still learning the language. There's so much of it that I don't know. I guess of the Pacific languages, it's one that very few Pacific people also know or even know of. Like, I get lots of people at Rotuman Language Week being like, oh, you know, where is Rotuma? And I'm like, okay, cool. Let me pull out this map. Let me show you. So yeah, probably those two pieces.
You've returned to Utiputi for the New Zealand Young Writers Festival recently. What can you tell us about that event?
So the New Zealand Young Writers Festival this year took on a whole new face, a whole new body, and I think in a way that was really exciting. Rather than doing a 4-day festival from the Thursday to the Sunday at Te Whareo Rukutia, The first two of those days was at Puketeraki Marae in Karitane. We brought together, I think it was between 15 and 20-ish rangatahi writers from primarily Otipote, but also across, you know, across the country. And it was a development-focused space. And so we had workshops, we had prompts, but we also had just a heap of whakawhanaungatanga. As part of that, you know, for some of our kaituhi, it was their marae. So, you know, for me being a guest to that space was a real blessing. And for others, I'd never been on a marae before. And so, yeah, to have being writers and being excited about writing and creativity being the central thing that brought us all together, that was really special. We got to have conversations around, you know, what we're doing in our respective communities and how to show solidarity. I think that was really important.
Cool.
For a lot of Otipote-based writers, the majority were kind of based in Otipote. Performance was a big focus. So what does it mean to take the work that you're doing, you know, in your bedroom or in your school, in your university paper, and bring it to life? And what are the opportunities for that? And I want to mihi to Te Awhi Reina, who is a beautiful Samoan Māori poet based in Otipote, who was quite shy at the wānaka around sharing her work, and then ended up winning the Otago Regional Poetry Slam on Saturday night.
Wow.
So that transition, and just how incredibly empowering
it
was. But even just the fact that that happened in like 2 days.
Mm.
And she, yeah, is the Otago Regional Poetry Slam champion, you know.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
I don't know whether she'll hear this, but I hope
I'll
send
it to her.
yeah, and the fact that anyone in the room, regardless of whether they were Māori or Pasifika or not, could feel every single word. I got shivers, and I don't get shivers from performance poetry as much anymore. And also, yeah, I guess mihi to Rohina, who was the... Me, Rohina, and Josiah Morgan were, I guess, brought on board as tuakana, so almost replacing the curatorial work with a tuakana position in air quotes, because we were just there also to facilitate the sessions. But I think a lot of Rohina's groundedness and the fact, you know, we were lucky enough to be on their marae, on their whenua, learning about their history, and then be creating with the nourishment of that space. Yeah, I'm super, super proud of all the rangatahi, and they've got a little group chat now, and are like sending in different opportunities for each other.
Oh, amazing.
And talking about, like, you know, where to next, you know, maybe a residency elsewhere, pulling together our kind of community resources to make sure that this is like a cohort that can continue.
How do you feel writing communicates differently to other formats?
I think it can hold a lot of expansiveness that other art forms might deal with differently. My answer to that question, I guess, is grounded in the fact that for my work, I facilitate creative writing programs in prisons. And part of the reason why it's creative writing programs and not other art forms is because of the fact that materials-wise, getting paper and pens and, you know, booklets in is a lot easier than other materials, right? And so this idea that so much can grow from the simplest of materials, and, you know, that idea spreading across writing, right? You know, some of the most beautiful poems that I've ever read have been from the kaupapa that you do in different prisons, and
comes down to accessibility, right?
Accessibility of materials, but even the fact that I love that now people are less anxious about getting into writing and seeing writing as tied to like having perfect literacy, or seeing creative writing as primarily like something that you do in school. We care far less about grammar and spelling than we do the actual activity and process of expression. And I think when those kind of expectations are put to the side and we're re-centering on what words can do, what their power is, what their utility is, it changes our whole relationship to their art form. Yeah, I'm seeing like fewer and fewer young people try and jump into like the thou, thy, Shakespeare, you know, even not even like considering the more traditional works that you're introduced to in school, because their first thought is, okay, well, I'm a writer from XYZ place and I come from XYZ community. This is where I'm writing from and these are the stories that are important to me. We've got writers in this country and we've got writers elsewhere in the world that we are taught within the education curriculum, and that's, you know, that's cool when you learn about structure and style through those works. But it's exciting that the way that writing is, creative writing and poetry and rap and songwriting is kind of dealt with now is distinctly tied to personal experience.
So we are both from Indigenous cultures that are seeped in and fundamentally informed by oral traditions.
Mm.
Our knowledge, the way we are anchored to the whenua, the way our identities and that of our whānau are shaped by oral storytelling. These lessons, learnings and wisdom are in this practice and shared through this practice. What power can Indigenous creatives find in the art of writing?
Whoa. yeah, what a question.
Sorry.
No, but in the most exciting way, because, I think in working with predominantly Māori and Pasifika creatives, that's such a, it's a question we get a lot is, our whānau are storytellers, but we tell stories over kai and we tell stories in passing. And I tell, talk with my nana. Someone would talk with their whānau about their stories on drop-offs to school or to church or whatever. And so what does it mean to see those experiences for the beauty that they are and express them through creative writing when creative writing isn't always the way that we're accessing those stories? But I think it comes down to the way that representation and story dissemination and story sharing is so important is there are young people who will grow up and only ever see XYZ stories that don't reflect their lived experience and then see creativity as something that's fundamentally not for them and just how heartbreaking that is. So as soon as you're recording your stories, your take on stories, memory and experience and opinion, in different forms on the page, and also creative writing can exist in other forms as well. It can be used in video and in...
That's it, right?
Yeah, the dissemination can look like so many different things, but without that, there's going to be entire communities that see creativity more broadly as something that isn't for them. And knowing its capacity to heal and its capacity to bring people together and capacity to curate community in the first place, how vital it is that our people, if creative writing is something that's of interest, then, what can we do to break down the borders so that that's something that's nourished and an exciting process to engage in? Yeah.
What inspires your writing, both the act of writing and the topic of your pieces?
I'll start with the topic of my pieces because I feel like that's an easier part of that question. A lot of them more recently have been around the idea of being Indigenous, living in the diaspora, but also, being away from my whenua in Aotearoa. I'm taking a lot of inspiration from people like Honi Tuwhare, who was a kaikohe-born poet who's really weaved political urgency into his work, and to do so decades and decades ago, and for that work to still ring true today is a testament to the power of his work. But also the fact that he was from kaikohe. Actually, on the flight down, I was sitting next to someone who got talking around, where we're from, where we're connected to and all that. And I mentioned that, I've got whānau ties to kaikohe. And he was like, oh, it's a bit of a dump, isn't it? And then I was reflecting on that and going, the first Māori poet to be published in English is from kaikohe. You've got generations and generations and generations of incredible creatives from all over Aotearoa, but creativity isn't tied to institutions, right? You've got some incredible work coming out of any town, but Otipoti, right, as well. And the power then of being tied to these different places and having these lived experiences, which feel really normal to me because I'm surrounded predominantly with Māori and Pacific people, but knowing that that's not the case in the wider country, I see a responsibility in creating works that reflects my community, both to mihi to them and acknowledge the fact that I wouldn't be who I am without them and without their sacrifices and their love, but equally the fact that the general public are responsive to art, and if art is a way of changing hearts and minds and redressing narratives and shifting perspectives, then the way that it's a really powerful tool, potentially going into future years as well.
You are active across a lot of kaupapa. What is coming up for you for the remaining months of 2025?
My mahi, Te Kahui, we have a fundraiser going on.
Put it out there.
It's called Keep Te Kahui Flying. We have a little boosted page and we're doing a fundraiser show in Tāmaki Makaurau on the 26th of September. But the whole purpose of that being around raising money to keep the work going, but even just to facilitate conversations around the necessity of accessible art and art opportunities and how our communities that are incarcerated, when you're incarcerated, you don't cease being human, right? And if expression is such a vital thing to healing, then we all should be able to do that. And then in October, I'll be back down for the Dunedin Readers and Writers Festival, which I'm stoked about, on a panel called, I think it's Pasifika in Publishing, with Zach Soakai, who's an incredible Samoan Tongan multidisciplinary creative, kayakal, beautiful person. And then the director of Manu Scripts as well, which is, yeah, amazing. And yeah, Stacey and Millie, who is a student at the University of Otago.
What brings you joy?
my family. Yeah, I graduated recently and saw a whole bunch of them. And yeah, I'm the first in my family to go on that journey. To see them and to be able to, I'm not wearing them right now, but I have these earrings that I, these bone earrings that I wear heaps. And I wore them on the grad and then bought my mum, gifted my mum a pair of the same earrings that she wore. And even just to get a photo of her holding my papers.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know that she wanted to go to university and, you know, maybe one day she will. But yeah. Just to be able to acknowledge the people that I really, really care about in really tangible ways means a lot to me.
When you are not on the mahi, creative or otherwise, how do you fill your time?
Creative or otherwise? Usually my answer to that is writing, but that is included in the creative or otherwise.
I guess two things can be true, you know, like it can be your creative mahi, but it can be your safe space.
Yeah.
So, you know, and not everything you write, you publish,
yeah,
right?
No, so true.
Some of it's just for you. And yeah. I think that's a really important thing to highlight is that your creative practice doesn't solely have to be for public consumption. Sometimes it's to heal, sometimes it's to process.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I've been doing quite a few like freelance commissions and stuff like that recently and reviews, and that's been really cool, but obviously tied into the fact that I need to get XYZ done by a deadline to submit to this person for this purpose. But one thing that I think is bringing me joy at the moment is I'm starting writing a full-length poetry and essay collection. And so, yeah, playing with, I think, what we talked about potentially off mic around the hybrid texts and the fact that people get so used to, you know, you pick up a poetry book and there's poems inside, or you pick up a novel and there's a novel inside. Mm-hmm. But I kind of just wanted to write the different forms that I enjoy. Just kind of working on a first draft of that. And it's, uses different mediums, different creative forms, I guess, to explore anti-carceral Pacifica feminism.
Wow, cool.
So the idea that how do we heal as a community outside of what the state says is how to resolve conflict, how to have tough conversations that are grounded in the ways that we relate to each other. Even just thinking about that idea and writing on that idea and having conversations about it bringing me a lot of joy, I think, at the moment. And then, if it turns into once the draft is complete, it is a creative product that will go on a journey of its own potentially. But at the moment, I'm really enjoying the ways that creative research can exist and like getting excited by that again.
In a sentence, what advice do you have for new, emerging and re-emerging Indigenous creatives in 2025?
Just like to have the audacity and to really, really back your storytelling. I submitted to a journal when I was a teenager and I was mourning the loss of someone that I really cared about and didn't think anything of it, but was really lucky to have someone, I think one of the youth workers that was in our community, back me and encourage me to submit and even tell me about Starling in the first place, right? All the creative opportunities that I've had the blessing to be a part of or to be involved with have come from having support to see them, but eventually it also just came from having the audacity to apply for things. Knowing what is out there to apply for is a whole other thing that I think there needs to be a separate conversation about. Yeah.
You are a really, really, really beautiful example of what it means for someone to take the time to actually say, hey, have you heard about this? Because it's changed your life, you know? I think there's a few different moving parts to that, but just the initial acceptance and recognition and Starling has just completely shifted probably how you saw yourself, but also how you saw your practice. So I think that that's really important. And to see you now working in the space and in a few quite difficult spaces, trying to tautoko other young writers and infusing audacity into our young people, that's our role, you know? So it's beautiful to see. Ka mihi nui, Ruby. Thank you for your time. We really appreciate the opportunity to kōrero with you about your practice and your time here in Otipoti. We wish you all the best in your travels and look forward to hosting you again in the future.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
What an excellent conversation. Thank you, Kōrua, for bringing that to us. Don't forget to check out the panel conversation Pacifica Publishing, Sharing Our Stories. That's happening on Saturday at 3 p.m. at Conference Room 2. It's free to attend and features speakers Millie Mo'anga, Ruby Makoma, Zek Soakai, and the one and only Amy Tawa. They'll be talking about everything from self-publishing through to multimedia storytelling and all the varieties of Pacifica writing. It sounds like a really, really interesting chat. Thanks for tuning us this week. You can find all the past episodes of Aratoi On Air on all the major platforms, or if you head along to oar.org.nz and click on their podcast tabs, you'll find us in there too. If you want to work out what Aratoi is all about, follow us on social media. Our handles are Aratoi Otipoti on Facebook and Instagram. We'll be back in a fortnight's time with some new conversations. Until then, ka kite.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.